What's up, guys? Red Nation Hoops Podcast. My name is Saul Monali at Red Nation Hoops on Twitter. You're joined by Paul, Mickey, Derek at Rocket Intellect. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. What about you?
I'm doing great. Unfortunately, we're coming off a Rockets loss, so I'm a little bummed. But hey, I mean, every team has games like this, and I'm not too worried about the Rockets at this point. Also joined by Taylor Pate at Taylor L Pate on Twitter. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing good. Hey, look, the Pelicans just hit another shot.
God, Solomon Hill, right? Like when did Solomon Hill become Klay Thompson? Like I didn't get that notice. Like I'm not sure if you guys got that notice. Like I'm just kind of like he was hitting ridiculous three pointers like for a player of his caliber, and like on a night where everybody on the Pelicans were hitting shots, it was just kind of awestruck. I was kind of awestruck by just the amount of threes they were hitting. And Anthony Davis, man, like, he's starting to have, like, impacts on the game. Like before this game, like, I'll admit, I haven't watched much of AD this season, but, like, he's starting to have impacts on the game that aren't just offensive impacts. Like, you know, like, facilitating from the high post, and, like, the Rockets just couldn't guard him. The Rockets had nobody on the floor that could guard. Like, they tried Ariza on him early on, and then they forced the double with Harrell, and then they kept on doing that. And then they threw Harden at him. Like, they had nobody that could consistently guard him. Like, they could have really used Nene tonight.
Yeah, they kind of threw... I mean, honestly, Harden kind of did the best job out of all of them, which is a little bit sad. But yeah, Nene's defense is very much missed in a game like this, strangely.
Yeah, tweeted out a hot take that Nene was the second most important player on the Rockets. And I think that's probably a little bit of a stretch, but he's probably a lot more important than you think it is, because Harrell and Capella are both very good, but they kind of do similar things, and like they finish off of pick and rolls, and neither of them play like ideal defense. But Nene actually can pass a little bit and can like post up a little bit and plays good defense. So he's like the only center are capable of doing the things that he provides, and that makes his value a lot higher than you would think it is.
No, I agree. Like, he started off the season really rough, right? And so I think a lot of Rockets fans have that image of him blowing a lot of layups, a lot of defensive rotations, but he's gotten a lot better since then, and he's been a really, really valuable for the Rockets. He's been living up to that room exception contract and more, and I think you're right, Paul. There is nobody on the team that does what he does. I don't know if I'd call him the second most irreplaceable player on the Rockets, but he's definitely up there in terms of importance. I mean, on a night like this, you can see where they miss his defense and his post defense in particular. Like, the Rockets don't have anybody like bulky that can guard really good post players. Like, and against matchups like the Spurs and the Grizzlies, that kind of gets exploited a little bit. But I mean, Nene is kind of the only guy the Rockets have that can do that. Clint Capella is still kind of like, he's still kind of growing into his own body. So it's going to take some time before he can do all the little things defensively, like guarding post players. But yeah, I agree. Like, Nene could have really been used. And overall, like, the Rockets shot so poorly in this game. They were missing three-pointers left and right. And, like, you thought that it'd get better in the first half, but it really never bounced back. They shot 32% from the three-point line. And they're from... On the season, they're like a 35 to 36% three-point shoot percentage team. And so, I thought after the first half, I wasn't that worried about the Rockets losing the game, because I thought they'd go on a third quarter run there. And Harden kept the Rockets really in the game but he kept them within striking distance for a lot of that third quarter. But the Rockets just couldn't bounce back.
Yeah, and Drew Holiday came out in the third quarter and just pretty much sealed the game. He was just, I mean, unguardable. And Pat looked a little off tonight. And obviously, he picked up those early fouls, and you know, he picked up the tech. He was just frustrated, having a bad night. And I don't know how much the the hotel situation has to do with anything, but I mean, guys play on back to backs all the time, so it's not really an excuse to.
Let's talk about it. That was weird, right? Because I saw the story pick up some steam yesterday. Apparently, the Rockets they couldn't find the proper hotel situation in New Orleans, so they went to Baton Rouge and they got a hotel and they had to drive 2 hours to the game, which is pretty. I mean, like for the normal person, I mean that's really not that much. But I mean, from Baton Rouge to New Orleans, like 2 hours before the game, that really upsets everybody's rhythm. Like, what was the whole situation with that? And like, do you guys think that really had an impact on the game?
I mean, I guess it. You'd have to say that it did, because the Rockets just didn't look themselves at all. I mean, normally, you know, they'll have a game like this every now and then, but I mean, to this extent, it was just a really atrocious game all around from them. I mean, they were blowing layups. Like, Lou Williams missed like 8 layups in a row.
Oh god.
Yeah, like he had visions of the rim that were just scary. And I mean, so I don't know the exact situation in the CBA that prevented them from getting a specific hotel or whatever, but obviously they couldn't use any of the hotels in that area, so maybe that's something that the NBA should look at.
Yeah, it's weird. Like I don't like to put excuses on games like this, but I think there was some of that going on. Like, it's just like when NBA players are creatures of habits, right? Like, they like to get to the arena at a certain time, they like to do their certain routines, and a lot of that was kind of squashed tonight, right, because of this whole hotel situation. But yeah, even in the post game presser, that was mentioned, that was asked, and Mike D'Antoni shot it down. He had this pretty great quote about healthcare, saying that guys are worried about healthcare and Meals on Wheels. Like, we shouldn't be worried about driving an extra half hour to the game, which was great. Mike D'Antoni's an excellent quote. But yeah, I mean, I do think, like, the Rockets are never going to admit this, but I do think that did have some sort of impact on the game. And to some extent, like if this was a game last year, I don't think we'd give them this much of a pass. But I mean, the Rockets have been so good this year, and they've been able to win games like this. That I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Like, you do sort of, as the season goes along, and we're this late into this, you do kind of give them a pass for this, right? Like because they've won games like that before this season, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, especially after that, you know, kind of brutal 5-game stretch, you know, where they had the Jazz and the Spurs and just, I mean, you know, basically all playoff teams. And so they did well in that stretch. And yeah, I mean, this is obviously, you'd like to win this game, but it's understandable why you didn't. And it's also, you know, the first night of a back-to-back, which means that, you know, the guys are already thinking about the next day. You know, it is what it is. The Pelicans hit shots. I mean, there's nothing you can do. They just, I mean, like, my unofficial account was like 11 by the fourth quarter, like overly contested shots.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much the story of the game. They hit 12 3-pointers out of 34, which is pretty good for the Pelicans. And like, the Rockets missed shots, right? I mean, like, at the end of the day, this is what happened. The Rockets missed shots, and the Pelicans made shots. And I do think the Rockets made a lot of mistakes defensively, and you know, you certainly can't look over that. But I think this is sort of one of those games where, yeah, they laid an egg, and we're not. It's probably best to acknowledge that they laid an egg. But I think you can move on from this game, I don't think this is a sign of any, you know, sort of larger issue with the Rockets. I think this is one of those games that you kind of look over. So let's get to the fun stuff. MVP race. MVP. So this is kind of heated up within the past 2 weeks, because we're kind of nearing season's end, and so this is where we talk about awards. This is where we talk about, you know, Coach of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year, Executive of the Year, all that fun stuff. And the hottest awards race this year is obviously MVP, Most Valuable Player. Obviously, this podcast is going to lean a certain way, and other podcasts are going to lean a certain way. But let's talk about it anyways. Harden obviously has a great case this year, leading the Rockets to the third seed, possible 56 game win season, and you know, they have a pretty good chance at advancing far in the playoffs. And you know, Harden's been the main reason for it, and he's put up monster stat lines throughout the season. But at the same time, there's like three other candidates that have pretty compelling cases this year. So what are your thoughts, like, right now, as of this moment, like, what are your thoughts, you know, forming of the race right now?
So I think that Westbrook has a lot of fan love. I think that Westbrook has a lot of, like, general media love. But I think the people that actually know the game are looking at this and they're saying, look, this is great. This is incredible. Like, he's averaging a triple-double. But then you see those dumb arguments like, you know, if he were to go down to 9.9 assists, then I wouldn't vote for him. And so the logic there is really flawed. People like to have round numbers or a nice name to call something. You know, a simple name to call a set of stats because it sounds nice. But to me, the biggest factor here is that no MVP has been from a third seed, lower than a third seed in the past, like, 30 some odd years.
Yeah, since 1984, I believe, or 1986. Right. Yeah.
And that's a big deal. You know, stuff like that tends to not get broken for a long time unless there's just a, you know, an outstanding reason. So, you know, I don't want to say that automatically eliminates Westbrook or anything like that, because I think that he's still got a shot. You know, Tim Bontemps did a media poll recently, I think of 106 media members, and Harden came out first in that poll by a pretty wide margin. You know, Kawhi is incredible. Kawhi Leonard, I mean, he's an amazing player. But I don't know that he does. I don't know that he has the wow factor that people look for in the MVP. Like, right, like Steph, you know, he had probably the most insane regular season, offensive regular season ever, and that he had that flash, that factor. Prior to that, you know, Harden and Steph went toe-to-toe for the MVP, and it came down to, you know, those two guys because they both had ridiculous offensive seasons. And I just don't think that Kawhi has that it factor when it comes to the flash. You know, so I think that's... And then, of course, there's LeBron, who's, you know, probably should and could win it. But, you know, his team has less wins than the Rockets. He's got Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love on his team. You know, there's really... he's got the help, you know, that Harden and Westbrook don't have. And even Kawhi to an extent. So, you know, it's incredible what he's doing. I mean, career highs and rebounds and assists and... not 3-point percentage, but he's way up there in 3-point percentage. And, you know, so he's having an amazing year as well. It's really, really almost unprecedented to have four wide open candidates, you know. That's not something that we've seen in recent years.
Paul, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think I would probably go with Harden, and I think he's probably also the favorite. Unless someone like goes on like a historic rampage, which you know, maybe Russ does, I don't really see anyone taking it away from him. Just because I think that it's so divided that the votes are gonna like just be what they are at this point. I think that voters have mostly made up their mind, and the fringe voters right now are just gonna like come to a general consensus. So I think Harden's probably the favorite. I think all of these candidates are deserving for different reasons, but the triple-double argument is really stupid. Like Taylor said, this people like suddenly not wanting to vote for him because he averages like 9.9 assists per game instead of 10 is really, really dumb. I think that it's kind of disrespectful to a great season to like break it down into merely just average, into like just talking about the triple doubles. I think you should talk about like what he's done in the clutch and how good OKC is in the clutch this season and whatnot and all that good stuff, instead of just talking about the triple doubles, I think. And that is my stance. All are deserving. I lean towards Harden. I think Harden will end up getting it, but I would not be upset if anyone other than maybe Westbrook won it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys know my stance on this. Like, I'm really, really cynical of Harden winning an MVP award. Period. And Paul gives me a lot of shit for this constantly on Twitter. All the time, and it's because like I'm just really like when there's so many candidates this year, it's really, really difficult for him to win the award. And I realize like he's probably the favorite right now, but that could change instantly if Russ has a crazy night and like, you know, voters lean one way. Like it's been like that the whole season, right? Like it's been a collection of individuals, of crazy individual, you know, performances and, you know, back and forth swaying. Like that, night Kawhi was the MVP for like a 48-hour period where, you know, he had that unbelievable sequence where he hit the pull-up three-pointer and then blocked Harden's layup. Like I feel like it's been that type of MVP race this year. But in terms of like historical precedent really matters to me. If you were to ask me who I think the MVP is, I do think it should go to Harden. Because, you know, historically, top three seeds win it. Like, that's just the way it's been. And that's, like, that's what we've been told forever. And I feel like any sort of delineation from that is kind of hypocritical, right? Because that's what we've been told for, like, the past 2 years. And this is what we were told 2 years ago when Steph won the award, right? Like, and even though Steph had an unbelievable season, I'm not trying to discredit that at all. And he had a great case for the MVP, right? This is kind of what we were told when Harden didn't win it, right? Like, you need to win a lot of games, and it's usually the award usually goes to the better team, right? And I just kind of think that the trend should continue, right? And not to say it should always go to best player on best team. I do think Kawhi is a good case this year, but I just don't think he had enough early steam like in the beginning of the season to warrant an MVP candidacy. Like I think what he's done since January is incredible, right? But I think he should have done that since, you know, I mean, like not to fault him for not doing it, right? I think for him to win the award, I think he should have done that from the start of the season, right? And I think voters are gonna pay attention to that, right? It's like this is not a 3 month award, right? This is a full season award, and I think that matters. And I think and if you were to fill out a ballot right now, I would probably have Harden at the top, and I'd probably have the winningest candidates at the to follow, right? Like I think LeBron has a really great candidacy this year. I disagree with you, Paul. Like you've discredited a lot on Twitter. I think he's had a great season.
When did I say that? Like he wasn't having a great season.
Well, no. You discredited the MVP part of it, and I think he has a really great case for it. And I think, like he's shooting 39% from three, and the Cavs are really bad when he's not on the floor, and like the impact he has, like, and I realize he has more help, but the impact he has on the Cavs, and he's dealt with a crap load of injuries, right? I think we tend to dismiss guys like J.R. Smith because he's a quote unquote role player, but he's really important to that team, right? And the stuff that he brings to the team is kind of discredited, but he's really, really like the Cavs championship odds are significantly hurt when he's not on the floor. And same with Kevin Love. He was out for 15 games, right? And I think that kind of stuff kind of weighs into it. So I'd probably have Harden number one, LeBron number two. I probably have Kawhi number three, and I'd have Russ number four. And it's going to come off as a slight towards Russ. And I don't want it to come off as a slight towards Russ. Russ is having an unbelievable season. I just don't put that much stock into round numbers, as you were talking about earlier, Taylor. Like, I just think, you know, triple doubles are good, right? Like, I'm not saying they're worthless, right? Like, when you have a triple double, you're clearly having an impact on multiple facets of the game. I just think, as a whole, I think winning has mattered more historically, and that's where I'd lean. If you guys are filling out a ballot, who would round out your top four?
I'd probably go Harden, LeBron, Kawhi, Westbrook.
I'd probably go Harden, Kawhi, LeBron, Westbrook.
Yeah. And I agree with you guys. I think having the winningest candidates towards the top is kind of the right way to go. Also, we haven't given Ryan Anderson a lot of love on this podcast, and I'm here to admit that I was wrong. Like, I was wrong, like, on Ryan Anderson throughout the whole season and throughout the whole offseason. I was a guy who said, you know, that contract was awful when the Rockets signed it. Like, I was really skeptical of that contract, like $84 million or $80 million over 4 years. That just seemed like a ridiculous amount of money for Ryan Anderson, and the injuries concerned me, and like, I wasn't sure what kind of role he'd have on this team. And he's, in my opinion, like I said this on Twitter a couple of days ago, in my opinion, he's the second or third most irreplaceable player to me on this team, because the Rockets don't have anybody that does what he does. The amount of spacing he provides, the actual three-point shooting itself, it's just so invaluable to this team. Like, he makes this team work. Like he's the reason, like nobody can, like, it's really hard to double-team James Harden, right? Because you have so many shooters, and, like, the Rockets don't have a stretch four like that on the roster, like, who's shooting near 40% from three. Like, that's really, it's really pretty insane. And I think he's done a really good job on the offensive glass too. And I think like, it's really unfortunate that we can't give Ryan Anderson an award. I'm bummed out that we can't give Rhino an award, right? Because he doesn't fall into the category of Sixth Man of the Year or Most Improved Player or MVP or any of that. And I feel like we should. I feel like Rhino deserves a little more love. What are your guys' thoughts? And I know, Taylor, you defended him a lot earlier. Like, we got into arguments before on former podcasts about that contract.
Yeah, and so here's the thing. He became way, way more valuable when Eric Gordon wasn't on fire. So, you know, Gordon had that crazy, you know, couple of months where he was in the lead for three-pointers made and, you know, in the league over Steph and all this kind of stuff. And so these two specific numbers stand out to me. I know that at one point Eric Gordon was in the lead with 181 three-pointers made, and you know, Steph was like maybe two behind or something like that. And then it was like 2 or 3 weeks later, Steph was like 30 three-pointers ahead. And that was that, you know, that short hot streak where Steph, you know, went crazy. But it was also that streak where Eric Gordon was missing everything. He was dealing with injuries. And that makes Ryan Anderson so much more important, because, yeah, the Rockets do have guys that can shoot, but they don't have a lot of guys that can shoot, you know, at least depth-wise. When, you know, once you get past Ryan Anderson in the front court, that's, I mean, basically it. Ariza's been dreadful for a couple of months now. And so that makes, you know, that makes Ryan Anderson's ability to stretch the floor, I mean, it does everything. It opens it up for Harden. It lets Harden kick it out to, you know, guys like Bev in the corner and stuff like that, because, you know, defenders are stretched so far off their man that there's so much space, you know, to operate. And yeah, the back end of that contract might be really ugly in 2 years, but I think that if you can, you know, get exactly what you signed him for out of him, then I still think it's a win.
And here's the thing about that contract, right? Like he, we made it through year one, and it's a success, right? And I was skeptical about year one, right? Like, and that's big. Like, if you can put forth your value in the early years of your contract to such an extent to, like, if the Rockets make, like, a deep playoff run, like, we're talking conference finals or something like that, and, like, Rhino is a big part of that, then I think this contract is fully worth it, right? Like, I think you can excuse some of those last years. And, you know, with the thought in mind that Rhino got you this far, and I think, you know, the fact that he's played this well so far, I think it's fine so far.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm still hoping that he's gone by the time that that contract runs out. I think he's probably I really appreciate what Rhino has done this season, but he's also, in really close games, he often doesn't finish the games because there's this whole ordeal there's this whole conundrum where MDA, like, loves to play Pat and Gordon and Ariza to finish games, and he also needs a center in, so he plugs in a Ney or Capella to finish games, and he's, like, not often a part of their crunch time five, and that kind of has made me, like, value his season a little bit less, but, like, obviously he's having a very important year and has been a crucial part of the team. I'm not sure that the Rockets would touch 50 wins without him, but I still meaning because that will get ugly by then.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think yeah, and you expressed some of the same concerns I had, right? Like the back end of that contract. But right now, I mean, like, you know, like when we talk about like horrible contracts, like this is not on the end of a Joakim Noah, right? Like this is not like,
yep.
Yeah, like it's important, like
absolutely,
like, yeah, and like Joakim, like at least Rhino can like fulfill the front end of that contract, and I think that's important. I think that's really really important, right? I think he's giving you
he's been great this season.
Yeah, and that's important, right? Like he's given the Rockets, like, really valuable minutes. Every minute he's been on the floor, like the story on Rhino, and I'm writing a column on this, like, the narrative has shifted so quickly on Rhino, right? Like I remember before the Rockets signed him, it was quickly fading into, like, is Ryan Anderson playable, like, on a contender? Like, I remember that was the narrative surrounding him, right? Like can you play Ryan Anderson on a contender? Is he worth, like, a starting power forward position, or do you kind of have to move him to the bench? Like, that was quickly become the narrative around Ryan Anderson because he was surrounded with all this losing, right? And the defense was really highlighted in all this losing, right? But, like, if the offense is great enough and he's not one of your primary creators, like, he's just a floor spacer, I think he's really good. And I think, yeah, and I'm happy we're finally giving him this love. Ryan Anderson, like, I was wrong about you, and I think you're a really valuable part of this team. I think the Rockets really value the minutes that he's given them.
I will say this about his defense. His post defense is not very good, but he is really good at contesting shots. He's really good at getting his hand up in guys' faces and closing out. And so that, I mean, that is an underrated part. You know, guys aren't getting at least wide open jump shots against him.
Yeah, and the Rockets have done some sneaky things to kind of hide it. Like, they've hedged a lot with him, and they brought a lot of double teams over. Like, you saw that tonight with Ryan, with the rare times he was switched on to AD, right? Like, you saw a lot of switching, and you saw a lot of doubles coming at him. And, like there are ways to make Rhino, like, you can't completely hide him, right? Like, he's always going to be there, right? But there are ways to make him bearable. Like, there are ways to make him playable, right? And I think, like, in terms of, like, if you're weighing the benefits of playing him versus not, I think the benefits of playing him vastly outweigh not playing him this season in particular. And I'm glad we gave him this love. I'm glad we talked about him because, like I felt like that was going under the radar. And I'm glad... Yeah, and Ryan Anderson's, like, I feel so good for that guy. Because, out of everybody on the roster, like, he deserves this more than anybody, right? Like, the stuff that he went through with his girlfriend and, like, the back injuries and everything, like this is a great story. Like there's somebody, like, somebody's gonna write, like, the definitive Ryan Anderson column, like, towards the end of the season. Like I feel like Lee Jenkins is gonna sneak one out, like, towards the end of the season, like, and it's gonna be awesome. Like, Ryan Anderson's had, like it's really cool to see it to happen to a cool guy like that. Like, he's a really great guy, and it couldn't happen to a better guy, in my opinion. So yeah, let's get into some more fun stuff. The season ends in like 5 minutes, and that's a quote I heard on the Zach Lowe podcast from Kevin Arnovitz, and I thought it was really good. Like, the season ends in like 5 minutes, and like, It's time to start talking about playoffs, right? Like, we're like 10 games away from the season ending, like 10 to 15 games. And it's time to start talking about playoff matchups. And, like, for the Rockets in particular, this is really interesting because they're locked into that third seed, right? Like, they're so far away from the second seed and so far away from dropping to that fourth seed, right? Like, they're the third seed, right? Like, you can get it out of your head that they're going to move up or down. Like, it's going to be Houston Rockets as a third seed versus the sixth matchup, right? So, right now, like, everybody's got their eyes on that sixth seed, and that sixth seed is getting a lot interesting, a little bit too interesting for my taste, because it, like, up until like 10 games ago, it looked like the Memphis Grizzlies were gonna be that sixth seed, and the Rockets would play the Grizzlies in the first round. Now the Thunder have, you know, claimed that sixth seed, and the Clippers have a dangerous shot of dropping that sixth seed and playing the Rockets in the first round, and I do not want that. Like, I. Out of all teams in that area, I think the Clippers are the most dangerous to the Rockets potentially getting eliminated in the first round. Like, I think that's a team you have to avoid, right? And it's really tough because, like, we have to root for the Clippers, and that's kind of dirty, right? You have to kind of root for the Clippers to keep that fourth seed, to keep that fifth seed and not drop and not screw this up. And it's going to be tough because they play the Cavs tomorrow at the time of this recording. And you kind of have to hope that they win that game. Otherwise, they fall that night to the sixth seed. And you kind of have to hope that the Rockets play the Thunder or the Grizzlies, right? Like, if I were to ask you guys, like, who would you want to play in the first round that's realistic? Like, who would it be? Like, for me, it's the Grizzlies, right? Like, I really want the Grizzlies to make a late run and get that sixth seed so the Rockets could play them in the first round. What about you guys?
Oh yeah, Grizzlies are my. I don't think the Grizzlies have a prayer against the Rock, so I would go with the Grizzlies. Like, and then it would be OKC. I would take them, even though I don't necessarily want to see Russ in the postseason, just because I think, like, if he goes through a stretch where he shoots to like 40% from three, like he's been going through recently, that's kind of a big problem because he's really hard to stop then. But Clippers definitely last, because they probably have four of the five best players on between the two teams, the Rockets and the Clippers. The Clippers probably have four of the best five players, and Chris Paul can play like the best player on the court as well, even though I think Harden is generally better. So definitely not the Clippers. There's a chance that, like, the Clippers look so unbelievably bad that there's a chance that, like, OKC passes them, and then the Grizzlies pass them up too. And that, I would take that and be perfectly fine with that too. Definitely root for the Clippers and just hope and settle for OKC at this point, because I think that's probably the way to go.
Yeah, yeah, I think the Grizzlies are obviously the ideal matchup, just because they're going to have so much trouble keeping up with the Rockets. But what I think is really interesting is San Antonio's matchup is going to be hard. I mean, almost no matter what, you know, because Memphis matches up a lot better with San Antonio than they do with the Rockets. If the Clippers fall and they play San Antonio, then that's, I mean, you know, they again would have the majority of the best players on the court. And then with OKC, you know, that's the obviously another, either Russ against Kawhi would be just an insane playoff series, and I kind of hope that happens. But, you know, it's regardless, that's going to be a tough series for San Antonio, which, you know, I guess kind of bodes well for anybody hoping to get past the second round. And so, you know, I would obviously much rather the Rockets play the Grizzlies, just because, you know, I think Harden kind of has figured out the Grizzlies, and you know, he's kind of in the last couple of games, you've seen that he's really started attacking the basket like he was earlier in the season, and he's really been super, super effective at getting to the bucket. And if he can do that against the Grizzlies, I mean, that's just going to open up so much for everybody else.
Yeah, he's even given like Marc Gasol problems when he's matched up against him. So,
yeah, defensively, yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
what problems do present against the Rockets? I don't think they really like a perfect matchup, just because Harden can guard, seems to be able to guard Gasol or Randolph, and you know, Gasol doesn't really want to go out and guard like pick and rolls and go out and guard the 3-point line.
Yeah, and Gasol
seems like a win-win if you play the Grizzlies.
Yeah, and Gasol has really tailed off defensively in the past 20 games or so. I'm not sure if you guys have noticed that. He's been, like, he looks really slow out there. And, like, this has always been the question of Marc Gasol's career, right? Like, when he's in shape and when he's engaged. And that's always a big question mark with Marc Gasol, right? Like he's really freaking good when he's engaged and when he's in shape, right? And in the last 20 games, he's not really been engaged. And he's been bad defensively, and the Grizzlies are kind of suffering because of that. And I think I agree with you guys. I think Harden can exploit those guys, right? Like Tony Allen's been kind of a sneaky superstar stopper, but I don't think that applies to Harden. Like, I think Harden's figured him out, right? Like, Harden can light up Tony Allen in a series. Like, I have no like qualms about that. Like, I know Harden can go off. I know Harden can get his Ironically, the Grizzlies kind of want to play the Rockets in the first round, because I don't think they have a prayer against anybody else. But yeah, I think I'd take the Grizzlies any day of the week. And I think you used the right word there, Paul. You settle for the Thunder, right? Because like the Thunder, like, I don't want to say like they can upset the Rockets, but they worry me a little bit, because Andre Robertson's really freaking good at defending Harden, and that team is really, really gritty, and like they can mess a lot of things up. Like, they're really good defensively, right? And they do a really good job of shading Harden towards Steven Adams, and making it tough for him to finish around the basket, and forcing him into long twos and stuff. Like, I think they do a really good job of that. And again, like, I totally on board with you. I do not want to play Russ in a 7-game series. Like, I think like when you have one of those guys, like, no matter what, like when you have like a Harden, when you have a Russ, when you have a LeBron, like, you always have the smallest chance, right? Like, it may not be a big chance, but you always have the smallest chance of pulling an upset. And that's why I don't want to play the Thunder, but you're gonna have to settle for them. I think that's probably going to be the likely matchup in the first round, which is unfortunate, but I think the Rockets can still take care of that team. I think it's probably going to come down to a lot of late game matchups, because that's what's kind of happened in the regular season. But I still think the Rockets end of game scenarios, I probably trust Mike D'Antoni against Billy Donovan any day of the week. And the Rockets have a lot more shooting than that Thunder team. So I think I would favor the Rockets, definitely. And yeah, I don't want to play the Clippers. Like, that's a team, like, as you said, Paul, like Chris Paul, like, in the playoffs, Chris Paul takes it to another level, man. Like, Chris Paul turned into point god, and like, that's a matchup where you want to stay away at all costs, because like, and Blake Griffin, I think he has another gear, and we've seen it in the playoffs before. Like, we saw it in 2014-15. Like, he was like the best player in that San Antonio series, like, and like where they won in 7 games, like those guys have other gears, and I just don't want to play them. And this is kind of like, they have nothing to lose too. Like, they have every motivation to try to go big in this playoffs, in the playoffs this year. Like, they like, as in, like, they If they don't go far in the playoffs this year, they're probably breaking that Clippers team up. So I do not want to play a motivated Clippers team in the first round. That's something I try to avoid if I was at all costs if I was a Rockets. Let's get into second round series. So theoretically, if the Rockets make it past the first round, and I know that's not a given, but I mean I think they'd be favored, right? If they make it past the first round, the second round's gotten really interesting, right? Because at the beginning of the season, it was kind of assumed that the Rockets would kind of play the Spurs in a theoretical second-round series. But now the race for the first seed has picked up. With the KD injury and the Warriors kind of slumping in these past few games, it's like there's like a half game separating the first seed. And this has sparked sort of an interesting debate on Rockets Twitter. And, you know, I even heard Ben talking about it on Lockdown Rockets about, you know, like, what team would you rather face? Like, the Warriors, like, a wobbled, like, a injured Warriors team that's trying to find themselves, and a Kevin Durant that's trying to work his way into the series, or a healthy San Antonio. Like, and honestly, I'd probably still lean a healthy San Antonio. I think you avoid the Warriors into the conference finals. And honestly, like, it would not take much to sway me the other way. It's that difficult for me to decide, like, as to which team I'd rather play. Where are you guys leaning on that?
I would definitely, like in a vacuum, I would definitely rather play the Spurs than, like, than the Warriors with, like, a rusty KD, just because, you know, KD is still going to be at least a very good player, at the very minimum when he comes back, not a bad player. So that's still like a really, 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 really great team, even if KD is
70%, you know, yeah.
Rusty, yeah. 70-80%, whatever you want to call it. I think the argument for like wanting to play the Golden State Warriors in the second round is, do you want to play the Golden State Warriors and try and like get them while they still are as rusty as possible? If your like main goal is just get to the championship, I think that the championship odds probably increase if you play the Golden State Warriors in the second round. But I would still rather take my chances at just like trying to get to the Western Conference Finals and like being able to say, "Hey, we made the Western Conference Finals," to like a free agent this season, because I think that that's really important, and I don't think that the Rockets are that likely to win a championship this year, if that makes sense.
So I think that the next two games against the Warriors are, yeah, that might sway me one way or the other. But I do know this. I know that minus a couple of meltdowns, the Rockets, you know, the Rockets could have swept the season series with the Spurs. Obviously, Kawhi made the, you know, ridiculous block, and whether or not Harden was fouled is inconsequential. Either way, that's a very, very close match, a close matchup back and forth, and I think that certainly, you know, that certainly has the potential to give the Rockets the potential win, if that makes sense. Because with the Warriors, it's, you never know. I mean, it could start as soon as the playoffs start. They could go on a stretch where the entire team is hitting 40% from three. And when they're doing that, you're not going to win. And then, you know, the Oracle turns it up to a whole new level when it gets to the playoffs. You know, Steph makes 1-3, and it's like the earthquake start. And so, you know, it's really tough, because I also think that playing the Warriors in the second round would be the better odds to getting to a championship. But I still think that I would take the chance at playing San Antonio, just because I think that the Rockets have the firepower to outshoot them.
Yeah, and I agree with you guys. Like, I would still rather play the Spurs. And you said something interesting, Paul, there for a second. Like you said the championship odds increase as if they play the Warriors in second round. I completely agree with you. I think that's the perfect way of putting it. Like, if they play the Warriors in the second round, like, that's the most likely you have of defeating the Golden State Warriors, right? Like, that's the best chance you have. But at the same time, like, if you, it's not a great chance, right? Like, it still probably favors the Warriors, and you still have to face a healthy Steph and a 70% KD and like a healthy Draymond Green and like that. I just don't want to face them. Like, I'd want to hold that off until the conference finals. Like, health be damned. Like let them be healthy. Like I'd rather pitch to my free agents. Like, as you said earlier, like, I thought it was a great point. Like, I'd rather pitch to let's just say Gordon Hayward, right? Like, I'd rather pitch to him. Like, we made it to the conference finals last year, and we made it to the conference finals two years before that, and like, we win 50 games every year and stuff like that. Like, I think that's a really enticing pitch to free agents that I think I would rather have. And I agree with you, Taylor. I think the Rockets have a really good chance of beating the Spurs. Like, I was never rattled at my chances of beating of my chance of beating the Spurs, because I think the Rockets have a pretty good chance of beating the Spurs. Like, and it's come down to a lot of late game matchups, and the Rockets have made some mistakes down the stretch. But I think largely, if the Rockets are hitting their threes and if they're if Harden is locked in, I think the Rockets have a good chance of beating the Spurs. And I'm not saying it's a great chance. Like, if you were to put a gun to my head, I'd probably say it's like 50-50, right? I'd probably say it's a coin flip in that series, and I'd probably take the coin flip over a chance against the Warriors in the second round. And I think that's kind of like where I stand. I'd rather play the Spurs in the second round. I know I understand the case of playing the Warriors in the second round. Like, I'm not gonna dismiss it at all. I think it's very valid. I think Ben DuBose, he's a guy we have on the podcast a lot, hosts of Lockdown Rockets. He leans Warriors because he thinks that the Rockets have a chance of taking advantage of a healthy KD. And I completely understand that perspective. And it's really hard to disagree with you with that, because, I mean, if you look at Steph last year in the finals, like, he had like a similar injury to KD. Like, he had a grade one MCL sprain in that knee, right? Like, and this is kind of what we were talking about earlier in the year, right? Like, If the Rockets just make their roster like as good as they possibly can, and if they just get into the discussion, I think they have a chance. And I think they have a chance at winning the title this year. Like, it's a long shot, granted, but it's a lot better than we thought at the beginning of the season. Like, if they can outshoot a team in the playoffs, like, I think they have a chance at beating anybody, like, even the Warriors. And I think the fact that we're even talking about rather facing the Warriors in the second round tells you how quickly things could change, right? Like we still have 15 games left, right? Like somebody could still get injured in this time, right? And I'm not rooting for an injury, right? But something could still happen, and I think that's important to address. Like, I think anything could happen, and like last year, like I'm a lot more optimistic about like somebody else winning the championship other than the Warriors than I was at the beginning of the season. Like, I think there's the window was open for any team. Like, I think there's four legitimate teams that can win an NBA championship this year, right? I think the Cavs, the Warriors, and the Spurs and the Rockets. I think those teams all have a legitimate chance of winning the championship this year, and I think that's more teams than I would have said at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and I think like the next 10 to 15 days, when Kevin Durant gets reevaluated, I think that's going to determine a lot. You know, as far as the conversation we just had, obviously, if he gets reevaluated and it's bad, then you know, it's going to change things a lot, and that's really, you know, where you're going to see, hey, should, you know, or would the Rockets rather play the Warriors in the second round? That's when, you know, you'd know if there's no KD, then I think that's the matchup.
Yeah, I pretty much. KD, if KD is like rusty as hell, then like I can completely understand the idea of playing them in the second round. And I think that they are certainly mortal, but I think they need a pretty depleted KD in order to beat the Warriors, because there's just too much firepower and for the Rockets to guard them. They're just not a good enough defensive team to, like, cover all that firepower. So KD would probably not, would probably have to be, like you said, 70 or 60% for the Rockets to beat them. Otherwise, I think they're cooked.
Yeah, yeah. And
Harden probably has to have, like, something similar to what he had a couple years back against the Warriors, like just a ton of insane performances and just like two stinkers instead of like just being pretty good throughout the entire thing. I think he needs to be great in every win for the Rockets to beat the Warriors.
Yeah, and we've seen in the past 2 years that like the Warriors really have nobody that can guard Harden. Like, Harden torches the Warriors a lot, and like, and I think that's important, right? Like, I think if you know Harden can show up for, you know, and you know there's really not that many matchup problems for Harden in that against the Warriors, I think you eliminate a big hurdle there, and then it comes down to the little things, right? Like, are your players hitting shots? Are you executing defensively? And, you know, these are questions we still have to see, right? Like, we still don't know how good this defense can be in the playoffs, right? Like that's a real question that people have. Is this defense smoke and mirrors, right? Like, because, like, we know the Cavs defense right now is smoke and mirrors, right? At 22nd in the NBA. Like, we know they can take it to another gear, right? And other teams are going to take another gear. Are the Rockets going to be still this good in the playoffs? And that's a real question, right? Because teams are going to key in, and like it's going to be much harder to execute in the playoffs. And I think that's a real question. All right, guys, I think we've done our job here. This podcast is going to be on Dash Radio for the first time this Sunday at 7-8 p.m. So there's going to be a lot of new listeners to the podcast. Welcome to Redish Noobs podcast. We're just a group of guys who like to talk about the Rockets. We have our own website, redishnoobs.com. Yeah, and I think you guys will enjoy us. We have some interesting personalities, fun group of guys. And yeah, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Give us a good rating on iTunes if you enjoyed the podcast. Give us a good rating on iTunes if you enjoyed the podcast. If you didn't enjoy the podcast, give us a good rating anyways, because that helps people find the show. All right, guys, good night. We'll be right back.